Because the title of this message is The Power Team. Okay. How many of you know we have a power team? Okay. I'm going to ask you who it is in a minute so you can be thinking about it. I said, in a minute. John 3:16, I'm going to share that out of the Good News Bible. And then I'm going to share John 13, verses 34 and 35 out of The Voice. Okay. And The Voice is another translation, not the newspaper. Okay. John 3:16, for God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to be its judge, but to be its savior. We need to remember that when we're out witnessing, that we're not out there to be anybody's judge. We're out there to lead them into salvation. Okay? John 13, verse 34 and 35. So I give you a new command. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways, plural, that I have loved you, and demonstrate your love for other in those same ways. Everyone will know you are my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. Amen? Now go please with me to Luke 10. And I know it's not a word, and I know it's not good English, but this is one of my most favorite scriptures. I'm going to share it in several translations. King James. Behold, I give unto you what? I'm going to read it again, and then when you say it like you have some. Okay? Behold, I give unto you to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. No, that's good. I didn't want you to shout that part out. Of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Hurt you is what King James Version says. Notwithstanding, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So not only is he telling us that we have power over all the power of the enemy, he's telling you, don't rejoice because you have that power. So he's emphasizing we have power. Philip's translation, it is true that I have given you the got a little weak there. I tell you, when I go like this, you can say it, all right? It's true that I have given you the
power,
right, to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the enemy's power. There is nothing at all that can do you any harm. Yet it's not your
power
over evil spirits which should give you such joy, but the fact that your names are written in heaven. The Message Bible. See what I've given you. Safe passage as you walk on snakes and scorpions, and protection from every assault of the enemy. No one can put a hand on you. All the same, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and presence with you.
Yes.
Okay? Amen. The Amplified Version. My favoritest of favoritists. Behold, I have given you authority and
power
to trample on serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now we get to the voice. I've given you true authority. You can smash. You can smash vipers and scorpions under your feet. You can walk all over the power of the enemy. You can't be harmed. But listen, that's not the point. Don't be elated that evil spirits leave when you say leave. When you say leave, whatever's not of God should leave. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So it's clear that Jesus gave us power over anything and everything that the devil can dream up. It doesn't matter what he does. If it's from him, we have power over it. Period. End of story. Problem is, we don't fully understand that. One of the things that happened, I'm saying this as an example, I use this before, it's not to besmirch any of our custodians. I don't think, when I look at their number and what they accomplish, I don't think there's a team, any place, anywhere, that's better. Amen. Right? But I'm glad there are about a dozen people that agree with me. All right, but when we first got this new pickup truck, the F-350 snowplow, and our first snowstorm, you know, they hadn't got a full understanding of how to operate it. So they couldn't get it in four-wheel drive. So even though the power was there, they had no power. They had no power. And they thought something was wrong with the vehicle. No power. When all that happened is really we just didn't understand the operating instructions. Well, that's the way it is with us folks in the kingdom. We all don't fully understand the operating instructions, and so we find ourselves dead in a snowbank, wondering why this thing won't kick in gear. We believe we're saying all the right things, but something isn't quite there. Well, you're going to know what that is in a minute, and I'm telling you, it ain't complicated. And it's so simple that you want to smack yourself. Don't do it. Okay? You don't have to, but it's really that simple. It's my middle son was trying to explain to someone the difference between, you know, regular definition and high definition. And he said, regular definition is like trying to read something with your glasses off. He said, then you put your glasses on, boom, it pops out. Well, see, we've been looking at things through regular definition. Okay. But by the time we finish the day, you're going to have high definition understanding, and it's going to be that clear. Okay? You going to stay with me? Okay. According to the dictionary, power is the ability to do or act. It's capability of doing or accomplishing something, anything. It says it's political or national strength, great or marked ability to do or act. Strength, it could be might. Listen to this. Power is also the possession of control or command over others. Or you could say it is authority. Power is control of government, county, state, etc. And Jesus said, behold, I give unto you Right? Power is legal ability. And it's also delegated authority. Now, the concordance gives it in much more detail. In that scripture, that word power in the Greek is exousia, not dunamis. And I found out, I may talk about it a little later, it was very interesting to me, that when it refers to all the power of the enemy, that word is dunamis. So God gave us exousia to overcome dunamis. And I found out it doesn't matter who's operating in dunamis. You have exousia. I mean, that's just the way it is. But it's the power of choice. It's physical and mental power. That's why the Amplified says physical and mental strength and ability, because that's what it is. It's the ability or strength by which one is endued, which you keep going, keeps you going. It's the power of authority, that's influence of rights and privileges. It's the power of rule of government. Rule of government. We have to ask ourselves, why are we cowering because of what the politicians say? This is all we can do. Or these are the only names we can use. I was talking with someone, I think it was Friday. I think it was one of our younger children out in Pennsylvania. They were here, you know, getting ready to leave to go to Battle Cry. And she was talking about the difference between the dress code from private Christian school and the public school. And I said, really? And you know me, I like to engage everybody. And I said, well, what's the difference? He said, well, the Christians, we have to wear these uniforms. She said, but in the public schools, you can wear anything you want, you know, jeans, T-shirts. Well, I said, well, that's their uniform. I said, you can wear a shirt that says anything on it except Jesus. You can put I heart witches, that's fine. You put Jesus in 2 inches in the upper left corner, that make you take the shirt off. I mean, but we have to realize that we have... Okay. Now listen to this. This is exousia. The power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. Must be. Have no choice. Universally, it's authority over mankind. It's the power of judicial decisions. It's the authority to manage domestic affairs. Now, I was like, Lord, I'm not saying this. And he said, yes, you are. I'm like, no, I'm not. He said, Jeremiah 1. I said, yes, I am. Okay. But I'm reading what the concordance says, okay? It's a sign of a husband's authority over his wife. Okay. What's his power? Those of you who have iPads and iPods, look it up. The concordance. It's a sign of the husband's authority. Thank you, honey. Over his wife. Now, husbands, repeat after me. I need you to say it nice and matter of fact, stand up. If your wife is here, look at her and say, and I will rule with the same love, compassion, and wisdom of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, sit down, all right? Power, it's also the veil which propriety requires women to cover themselves. The power is a covering. It's like it's an envelope. You know, it's like it's a shield. It's a sign of regal authority. Power. So you walk with power, no matter what neighborhood you go through, you don't... You just walk through the neighborhood. Why? You have power. All right? And you understand it. So really, when you think about it, everything that we do has a power connotation. But we must understand this. Okay. Let's go to Luke 10:19. Because when I was reading Matthew 28, and I want you to go there, Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. That power he was talking about was exousia. And in Luke 10:19, says he gave us power over all the power of the enemy. Jesus gave us the exact same power that was given to him. The same power that Jesus has, we have. Exactly the same. He didn't give us a little less power because he was afraid we might overthrow him. No, you know, when you know, the master always says, I've taught you everything I know. That's what he did. He not only taught us everything he knows, he gave us everything he has. And we need to understand that. So whatever it is that he did, guess what? We should be doing. Now, what you want to do on your own is I want you to study out the meanings between exousia and dunamis. You know, it would take too long for me to do it this morning, but I think it's important that you see the differences. I'll tell you, one of the things that you'll find that it means, force, effective, often oppressive power exhibiting itself in single deeds of violence. That's the type of power that the enemy has. He has force, power to exhibit himself in single deeds of violence. But Jesus gave us power over all of that. But let me ask you this question. What makes a person powerful? What do you think? Yeah, I heard two people, that their belief. Okay. Listen to this. All right, so is it physical strength? Is it natural ability? Well, is there a difference between the two? Well, does one need physical strength to be powerful? The answer is, it depends. Think about this. I was sharing this with Deacon Tony. When you think about the Israeli army going up against the Philistines, and the Philistines set out their big gun, Goliath. Now, the collective strength of the Israeli army was far greater than that of Goliath. Yet Goliath had power over them. Had them so afraid that they wouldn't come. I mean, I'm like, somebody show me where it's written that if one person challenges you, only one person can respond, and he's your enemy. No. I'm telling you. They could have said whatever they wanted about me. If I'm there, and I have my arrows and my bow, and he comes out, I defy. Goodbye. Okay. No, but everybody was an entire nation of people, including their high priest, afraid of the power of one individual. Why? Because they were focusing on his battle record and not on who they were. Yet, Goliath had far more strength than David. Yet David had power over him. Why? Because of what David believed. We have to get to the place where we understand we're waiting for God to come. We're calling on the Holy Ghost to come. He already came. And the power team consists of only two things: you and your faith. That's all the power you ever need. You and your faith are an unbeatable power team. Unbeatable. You just have to know that. You have to know who you are. You have to know what you have. You have to know what's in there. And you have to have guts enough to wield it. Let's go to Mark 5. It's a simple account, the woman with the issue of blood. I know we always talk about it as a, you know, great faith scriptures and a great healing account. But I'm going to share this in the voice. It reads, Jesus began traveling with Jairus toward his home. In the crowd, pressing around Jesus. Keep that in mind. What does it mean to press around someone? When you press, is there any space between you and the individual? So they could say they were bumping up against, right? Okay. The crowd pressing around Jesus, there was a woman who had suffered continuous bleeding for 12 years. Bleeding that made her ritually unclean and an outcast according to the purity laws. She had suffered greatly, and although she spent all her money on her medical care, she had only gotten worse. She had heard of this miracle man, Jesus. So she snuck up behind him in the crowd, reached out her hand to touch his cloak. To herself, she said, even if all I touch are his clothes, I know I will be healed. As soon as her fingers brushed his cloak, the bleeding stopped. She could feel that she was whole again. Verse 30. Lots of people were pressed against Jesus at that moment. At the moment she touched him, lots of people were touching him. But he immediately felt her touch, and he felt healing power flow out of him. Now think about that. All of the people that touched him, when the woman touched him, as all the other people were touching him, healing power went out of him. But she was the only one that received anything. And he stopped. Jesus stopped. He turned around. And he said, who just touched my robe? His disciples broke the uneasy silence. I can see them, they're like, who touched your robe? But Jesus waited. Because the disciples said, the crowd is so thick that everyone is touching you. Why do you ask who touched me? Everyone is touching him. But Jesus waited, his gaze swept across the crowd to see who had done it. At last, the woman, knowing he was talking about her, pushed forward and dropped to her knees. She was shaking with fear and amazement and said, I touched you. Then she told him the reason why. Jesus listened to her story. And then Jesus said to her, daughter, you are well because you dared to believe. Go in peace and stay well. And you think about something. He didn't say, I am the Son of God. My Father gave me all power, and I call on that power right now to heal you. He didn't say that. He was on his way to do something else. But that woman's exousia came and took what she needed. Amen. Took what she needed. Didn't ask him. Didn't say, may I touch you so I can get some power to get healed? No, she had power, her faith, and it took what she needed. Now, you had all these other people that were bumping up against Jesus and touching him. You'd have thought there should have been a healing revival there. Do you think that every Jew was the only person there that in that whole throng of people that had a need? I don't think so. I'm sure there were plenty of people there that were not healthy, wealthy, or wise. And they all bumped into Jesus. But only she pulled something out of him. Why? Her faith. The woman and her faith produced the power necessary to get what she needed to be whole. That and that alone. She didn't say, let me take my two prayer buddies with me. And I need you folks, you sit over there, and I need all you guys to pray while I go up here and just believe with me. You know. No. She understood at 10:38, I asked Deacon Alice for a pen. Because God said to me, he just dropped it in, he said, why don't you tell the people this? I'm like, whoa, let me get a pen. Okay. That until that woman chose to operate in faith in Jesus, she was consumed by her faith in what the law, the people, and the doctor said. And he said, it's the same way with us. Until we choose to operate in faith, we will be consumed, we will even be bound by what others say about what we're going through. Why? Because we'll look at them and say, they're the experts. They should know. I don't know. I don't have 15 certificates hanging in my office talking about all of the schools I graduated from. Funny part about it is we assume they're all accurate. We'll go to someone's office, go to a surgeon. And he's going to do a triple bypass. You've never met him before. Something happened, you went to the emergency room, they said you need a bypass. You prayed, God said okay, you said okay. You go, you meet the surgeon for the first time, and you scan his walls, and you say, okay, he's got a certificate. What if it was his father's? Okay. No, we have absolute faith that they're going to do just what they said they would do. And that's not wrong. If God told you to go there, you should. Because it's the same as if God is performing the surgery. But we do that without even checking with God. And that's where we get into the problems. Jesus, the healing that woman received had nothing to do with the power Jesus had. Nothing to do with it. Because if it did, everybody in the area would have been healed. Because the power would have just oozed out of Jesus onto everybody and they would have all walked around free. It was her faith that generated the power to take what she needed from Jesus. It's no different when you go over to what happened in Gennesaret. I thought that was interesting. Over in Matthew 14, you don't have to go there, I'll just read it for time. So when they had crossed over to the other side, they went ashore at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around into all the surrounding country and brought to him all, listen to this clearly now, when the people recognized who Jesus was. So they went out and they brought all the sick people, all, and begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of his garment. That's what they went and they gathered up every single sick person in Gennesaret and brought them and said, Jesus, please, let them just touch your garment. And this is what amazed me. It says, as many as touched it were perfectly restored. And I'm like, wait a minute. How come it didn't say every single one of them touched it? Because every single one of them didn't have the faith to generate the power to pull out what they needed. Only some of them. Well, the same thing happens here. We start looking around at people and we'll create different labels for people because of how we perceive them to be prospering. And we think, oh, they were born that way, or their parents left them this, or all these silly things come up in our heads. And some of those things could be, I don't know. But most of it is that they understand who they are. They understand how to use faith. They understand how to have the power to draw what they need. They understand that. And God wants all of us to understand that. All it takes is you and your faith. That's the power team. It'll stop anything and everything that's not of God. Every single time, it'll stop it. Every single time. Do you remember I said earlier that in the beginning of this lesson that one of the definitions of power is the ability to do or act, the capability of doing or accomplishing? So we need power just to have a normal life, just to live requires power. Is that a fair statement? Well, turn to Romans 12, Romans 1. I keep thinking about, I'm still thinking about that crowd. You know, with the woman and both in Gennesaret. And I'm thinking, I mean, they all should have been running around doing what we now call a Pearson praise. Because they had the power to pull out what they need. And all they could do was run around shouting, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." That Romans 1? Okay, this is in the voice. "For I am not ashamed," starting at verse 16, "for I am not ashamed of the gospel." Now listen to this. "I see it as the very power of God working for the salvation of everyone who believes it, both the Jew and the Greek. I see in it God's plan for imparting righteousness to men. A process begun," listen to this, "a process begun and continued by their faith. For as the scripture says, the just shall live by faith." Galatians 3. Verse 11. All of these are in the voice translation. It says, it is made still plainer that no one is justified in God's sight by obeying the law, for the just shall live by faith. And now let's look at Hebrews 10. Just verse 1, verse, just 10:38 says the same thing. "Now the just shall do what? Live by faith." So you could say that the just get the ability to act and the capability of doing and accomplishing anything by faith. That's how we get it. By faith. That's all we need. Faith. Plain and simple faith. Now think about it. And there were these all familiar, very familiar Bible accounts. Jesus saw Peter walking. I mean, Peter saw Jesus walking, where? On the water. And he said, "Jesus, if it's you, you tell me to come." Jesus said, "Come." Well, he knew it could have been someone on a raft playing a joke on him. But no, he believed it. And his faith created the power to solidify the water wherever he was stepping, even though there was a storm. And as long as he stayed focused, he wasn't even considering anything else. Something had to happen. I don't know what it was. Maybe he heard a big wave hit the boat. Maybe the people screamed, "Peter, what are you doing?" I don't know. But something distracted him and made him now draw on the power of his circumstances. Same person. Jesus is still walking towards him on the water. Notice, Jesus did not stop the waves and things. When Peter exercised his power by exercising his faith, stepped out of the boat and started walking, everywhere he placed his foot had to calm down. Everywhere had to. Didn't matter what it was beforehand, but the man filled with faith put his foot there, everything had to come under order. Remember, it said, must be obeyed. But he took his eyes off of it. And he looked at the circumstances and probably started to think, I must be out of my mind. I can't walk on this wall. Blah, 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 blah. And then he cried out. And Jesus just came and pulled him out and asked him, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You had generated all the power you needed to do what you said you wanted to do. Come to me on the water. You generated the power. All I said was, come. Why? Because that's what you asked me. We say, God, this is what I want. He's saying, okay. Now we sit and we don't do anything. We start waiting. Still not there yet, God. What's happening? I don't know. Do I need to pray in tongues a little more? What's up with this, Lord? I'm your child, remember? November 18th, 1984, I gave my life to you. Come on, God. And God is like, I already gave it to you. Where's your faith? Where's your faith that generates the power that pulls it out from the supernatural into the natural? See, folks, we're going to talk about it more next week. But see, that's one of the reasons why we don't see the type of results that the early church had. They never had power outages. We have power outages. And that's the title of next Sunday's message, Power Outage. We have power outages, and we think something, you know, the devil's rising. I mean, we give this person so much power, it's ridiculous. It really is. I mean, I've learned by submitting to the Holy Ghost and remembering what Pastor Clinton taught me to be gracious and to give people space, you know, to let them grow and let them develop, because someone had to do that with me. But sometimes, you know, when you hear folks going on and on about the devil is doing this and the enemy is running rampant over it, and I'm like, you want to say, you want to grab them and say, but you're there! And you have the power that everybody must obey if you just walk in it. If you just walk in it and stop waiting for something else to happen. Then we need to send a team of people in there. There's already a team in there. You and your faith. You may have more fun if you're in a group. You may be able to cover more areas in a group, but the change is not dependent on a large group of people going in. The change is dependent on whomever the person God placed there is believing. We're either believing what we see, or we're believing what he said. There is no other. We have to stop believing what we see and start believing everything that God said. Think about this. If you're like me, you know, this may make your brain do a 360. Just so you'll understand just how much power we have when we operate in faith and are faithful. Adam and Eve, if they had stayed faithful to God, he couldn't have put them out of the garden if he wanted to. But it was because they took their faith off of God and put it on something else that now gave God the power to put them out. They chose. Their power put them out. That's what they did. That's what it is. They empowered God to put them out of the garden. Why? Because they took their faith, hope, and trust off of him and put it on someone else. Someone who they already knew was saying things contrary to God. Contrary. I mean, we had children and have children, and, you know, praise God, you know, they didn't give us any reason to put them out. They didn't even give us reason to want to put them out. But had they gone another direction, we'd have been empowered to do it. Not because we don't want them there, because what they released. Their faith in worldly things would have generated power that would have put them out. That simple. Even though we would want them to stay. We need to understand, folks, it's on us. It's not on God. He's already done everything he's going to do. Now remember we said earlier, I asked you what makes a leader powerful, and you guys, Deacon Bill said you're all A students, you know. Okay. It's how they act based on what he or she believes about who they are and what they have. Makes about, I mean, come on. Napoleon Bonaparte was about this tall. Okay. Okay, maybe he was that tall. All right. I mean, compared to him, Adolf Hitler was a giant. He's about this tall, about this wide. Look what they accomplished because of what they believed in who they were and what they caused the other people to believe. They weren't powerful men in terms of physical strength or stature, but they had power. They had control because they got people to believe in them. Well, that's what the circumstances do to us. They come with their reputation. And we trying to be, you know, good stewards and doing our due diligence, which sometimes should be don't diligence, because you do it and only makes things worse, because you start looking at percentages and you start saying, this don't look too good. But if we would just focus on what God has said and is saying, we would release power, true power, that would change. In John 18, and I'm closing with this, there's another one of those accounts that I just find amazing. Just to let you know how powerful it is when you take a stand believing you are who the scriptures say you are. In John 18, verse 6, and it's when the soldiers came and you know, they said, you know, I'm looking for you. They asked, where's Jesus? Verse 6 says, Jesus spoke, I am the one. And everybody fell out. They fell out. They come with swords and clubs and everything to take them and say, we want Jesus. Where is he? I'm the one. I'm trying to figure out who's the first one to put their hands on Jesus after that. Because me, I'd have said, nice seeing you, Jesus. Okay. Let me know when you're teaching again. I'll be there. Because all he said was, I'm the one. I am he. And just the power and the faith in him knowing who he was repelled the enemy. And he had to make a conscious choice. I got to let him do this so the scriptures be fulfilled. Because all he had to do was just step over him and go his way. What? He knew who he was in the face of adversity, in the face of danger, in his knowledge that the only reason they were coming to get him was to kill him. In the midst of all of that, he stayed true to who he was, and he didn't care who knew it. And I guess, you know, just for emphasis, let him know, I'm only doing this because I really want to. Take this. Yeah, I'm him. They all fall down. Well, we should be experiencing the same types of reactions. When we encounter any spiritual darkness, and we walk up with the pure knowledge of who we are, that same type of repelling power should emanate. The same type. You say, well, Pastor, I think that's a stretch. Jesus said he gave us the same that God gave him. So if it worked for him, the only difference is that he never wavered on who he was and is. Never. Everything he did was based on his knowledge of who he was. That's why on the way to the grave he said, Father, I know you hear me. He said, I thank you that you hear me. But I know you always hear me. But for the purposes of all these people, I'm saying it so that they'll know. Lazarus, come on, come out of there. Let's go. You know, wasn't like in the movies, the old ones or the new ones. You know, he didn't come there and get on his knees. You know, it's an amazing way to pick them. His eyes go up in his head and he just, Lazarus! You know, just Lazarus, come forth. Well, part of exousia is authority that must be obeyed. And it doesn't say, unless the person's alive or breathing. Doesn't say that. So we have to understand, folks, the only team that's necessary in any situation is you teamed with your faith. Move mountains. Cast out demons. Doesn't matter what comes. And that really needs to be our attitude. We need to stop fearing things. I mean, someone, and I know, you know, that folks, you know, they have love and concern, you know, for all of their pastors. But I hold to what I said that time when I said, look, take your best shot. Why should I be afraid of anything? Why should you be afraid of anything? You need to think about that. Jesus didn't run from the devil even after fasting 40 days. I haven't fasted 40 days. I can't be tempted by turning a rock into bread. Ice cream, maybe, but not into bread. All right. All right. But even at his weakest moment, he had power over the devil. To get thee behind me. The devil would say, no, I'm not. Get thee behind me. I mean, 40 days, nothing to eat or drink. And you think about what some young men and women do for a meal at McDonald's. Not talking about you, Archie. Not knowing who they are. Not knowing. But you know. And I know. And we know And now we just have to start acting like it. That it's really that simple. Father, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. We thank you, Lord, because you do just what you say. Sent the Holy Ghost to teach us all, not just me, everybody. And I thank you, Lord, because I believe that I've said the things that you wanted me to say, even though they were more written in my notes. I believe what you wanted shared was shared the way you wanted it shared, so that the people will understand that they are already a power team individually. And when we understand who we are individually, when we come together, books won't be able to contain what we will accomplish as your corporate body, which Jesus named the church. We thank you, Lord, that you will illumine to every individual that's here or that hears this message. You'll illumine their thoughts, their spirit, so that they'll receive and understand everything that was shared. You'll show areas where we've turned off the power. And you'll encourage us to flip the switch back to the on position and leave it there. Since we are the just, we are supposed to live by faith 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're never supposed to have our faith switch turned off. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.